Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
Of course, a lot of talk about free speech of late. Is it hindering us? Does it remain one of our most vital democratic safeguards? There seems to be a growing pessimism towards the First Amendment and a call to mimic European-style speech regulations. But a United States like that could open the door to all kinds of censorship and things that I think would be not only disturbing but detrimental to our democracy. It really strikes at the core of civil liberties and the future of democracy. So beyond the headlines of even what's happening on our college campuses today, what's happening in Washington, D.C., is there something underneath the headlines that we should be looking at when it comes to free speech? Let's begin.
Think you know the news of the day? Think again with Boyd Matheson on KSL News Radio.
All right, well, it's time to think again about what we think we know when it comes to free speech. And I'm really pleased to have joining us on the program today, Jacob Mishigama, Executive Director of the Future of Free Speech and a research professor at Vanderbilt University. He's also a senior fellow at the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression and the author of Free Speech, A History, From Socrates to Social Media. And Jacob, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
All right, let's start with the premise there. Should we be free speech pessimists? Where should we be looking? What's the core issue?
Yeah, I think a lot of Americans, actually both on the right and the left, are sort of saying, well, maybe we've taken it too far with the First Amendment and maybe we need to rethink free speech, which I think is a dangerous idea in this country, because even though free speech, even though America has the strongest legal protections of free speech of any democracy in the world ever, that is actually for good reasons. If you look at American history, there have been many examples of people who were put to jail or censored for speech that we today find, you know, was vital to American democracy. But you don't only have to look at history. You could also look at what's the situation like in, you know, other democracies, mature democracies in Europe, for instance. Mm-hmm. And there, it's not uncommon for people to be punished for criticizing, you know, presidents, for blasphemy, for criticizing foreign heads of states, and so on. And I think that's crucial for Americans to look at and say, you know, is this really something that we would like to mimic, and what would the consequences be in a polarized country like the U.S.?
Yeah, one of the things that you pointed out in your piece at Reason, Reason.com, is looking at France. Back in 2021, the French National Assembly passed a law. Kind of walk us through that and what that would mean and how that might play out if that were here in the United States.
Yeah, so France obviously has been hit hard by terrorism, religious extremist terrorism, and so have adopted laws to crack down on extremist organizations, actually basically allowing the government to ban certain organizations that are run against Republican values by decree. But it's not only been sort of radical Islamist groups. These laws have even been used against environmentalist groups, against groups that are critical of immigrants. And you could imagine if the federal government in the U.S. was able to ban by decree groups, you know, if you had a Trump administration, it would go after sort of far left groups. And if it was a Biden administration, the target would probably be, those who are very conservative. So it would be right open for abuse. And in some of these countries as well, you have laws that that punish the glorification of terrorism. So in one infamous case in Spain, a rapper was sentenced to 9 months in prison for glorification of terrorism and also fined for attacking the monarchy and police. Now, you know, I was someone who grew up listening to NWA and Public Enemy. Can you imagine that that those lyrics were to be taken at face value? They should have, would have been behind bars for a very long time. So these are, you know, can sound into American ears like, oh, this is just like scaremongering, but this is actually the actual reality in countries that on the surface are, you know, similar in many ways to the U.S.
Yeah, no question. And you pointed out that under kind of this European framework, the next administration, whether it's a second term for President Biden or a bifurcated second term for the former president, they wouldn't have to just, you know, go after big tech in committee hearings in the Congress or the Senate. Congress could just pass a law that blocks that online content. You end up with, who is deciding that? And as you pointed out, if it's a Democratic administration, they're going to be really hard on one side of the aisle. And if it's a Republican, it's going to be very different and focus on the other side. And so then we ultimately lose that free speech because we've got somebody who's an unelected bureaucrat making the decisions in terms of what is and what isn't acceptable when it comes to speech. Give us kind of the path forward, especially in a time of high political polarization.
Yeah, so there's this tendency, which in my book I call elite panic. So every time, you have the public sphere is expanded either through new technology or previously marginalized voices have a say in public affairs, those who are the traditional institutional gatekeepers panic. And think everything will sort of fall apart. And we've seen that with social media. We see it now with generative AI. And the response to this in Europe has been to say, well, we need to regulate the so-called digital Wild West and pass these laws that say, for instance, in Germany, if social networks with more than 2 million users don't remove manifestly illegal content within 48 hours, they can be fined up to 50 million euros. But so that's a huge incentive for social media networks to remove all kinds of content, even legal content, because you better safe than sorry. But what they also do in Germany is that they go after individual users. So the New York Times reported in 2022 that I think over a four-year period, at least 8,000 criminal investigations were opened and over 1,000 people were charged for illegal online speech. And, this was, something like, and I apologize for my use of language here, but someone who had called a local politician a penis on Twitter, which, is pretty mundane stuff as Twitter or X goes. And we also seeing now, we're discussing in this country the reaction to college campus protests, pro-Palestinian protests. But what we're seeing in a number of European countries is that people are prosecuted, censored, not because they are violent or disobey police, but because of their viewpoints.
Right.
So, or using symbols, statements like "from the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free." Some would argue that that is anti-Semitic and a call for genocide. Others say, "Well, no, this is a legitimate political aspiration." It's clearly protected under the First Amendment, but this is something that could get you in legal trouble in countries around Europe.
Fascinating conversation, fascinating way to approach all of this. Of course, the First Amendment is not without critics or risk or challenges. But again, I think when we weaken our commitment to that, it definitely leads us away from the kinds of conversation, the kind of acceptance that we need to get to have the better conversation, the elevated dialogue that we need to get to. Jacob, thanks so much for joining us today. Great perspective. Again, he's the author of Free Speech, A History from Socrates to Social Media, also a research professor at Vanderbilt University. Jacob, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
A lot to think about there, and we've been talking slippery slopes. That's one of those that I think is a very slippery slope in terms of who gets to decide what is and what isn't good positive speech, what needs to be regulated speech, and how do you actually navigate all of that. And so let's start with the free speech and getting to the better space, as Jacob pointed out, a society that is tolerant, that does have that ability to have the disagreement in a little different and a little more elevated way. We'll be right back.
Think Again on Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson.